for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday morning, September the 3rd, 1989. Labor Day weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is the Sunday morning service. Glenn Miller is the speaker. Should this tape for any reason be defective, please explain and return for replacement. Father, I thank you for Calvary. I thank you for that hill called Golgotha. I thank you, Lord, for the blood that washes and cleanses and makes us whole. I praise you today for Calvary. I thank you for your submission, for your faithfulness. I thank you, Jesus, that you so loved me, that you gave your only, that you gave your life, that I might have life eternal. Father, I thank you for it, for each one of us present that hears the sound of my voice. We shall rejoice in thee, giving thanks and praise unto thee, for thou art worthy. Jesus is your name, and your blood cleanses and washes us from sin. As we confess our sins, make you Lord of our lives. I praise you and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. You may be seated. Praise be the name of the Lord. You know, God is a God of war. And the greatest battle that was ever fought was fought that day at Golgotha. And he is conqueror, and we are conquerors. Because he conquered, we are conquerors. But God is a God of war. And we need to become soldiers of war. We are called to warfare. We are called to fight a good fight, a fight of faith. And in fighting that fight of faith, we are to be faithful to the word of the Lord and to make it a light to our path that we walk in it. Well, let's look at some of the things that God says that he does or will do or wants to do. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, chapter 1 of Joshua says, "Have not I commanded thee?" The Lord says he's commanded us. What? "To be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed." And I tell you, there's too many so-called Christian people that are dismayed. The Lord says we're not to be dismayed. We're to be strong and of good courage. "For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." That was his word to Joshua, and that's his word to you and me. It has not changed. It says, "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." And today, he's calling us, everyone, to be a warrior. He's calling us to possess the land and to take authority over the enemy and to rout the enemy, to possess the land. He says, go in and possess the land. And the command has not changed from that day to this. The command is still the same. Go ye in and possess the land. Be courageous and be strong and be faithful. And today, we've got a lot of land that's not been possessed. First of all, in us individually, we have a land that needs to be possessed and claimed and taken. The territory needs to be taken. The enemy needs to be routed. And we need to clean up the land and make it a place holy and righteous for the Lord. And then we've got the nation about us. And then we've got the nations about us. We've got a lot of territory that we've got to take for the Lord, for and in the name of the Lord Jesus. He's called us to go out and possess the land. And he says that we are to do it. In 2 Samuel 22, verse 33, God says, he says, "God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and setteth me up on high places. He teaches my hands to war." He teaches us to do what? To war. We're not to be pansies. We're not to say we're not to fight. We're to fight. We're to be a people that wages warfare. We're to be a people of war. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by my arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, so that my feet did not slip. I have pursued mine enemies and destroyed them, and turned not again until I had consumed them. And that is the charge that's given unto us. We are to follow after the enemy until we consume the enemy. And I have consumed them and wounded them, that they could not arise. Yea, they are fallen under my feet. For thou hast girded me with strength to battle. Them that rose up against me hast thou subdued under me. Thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies. Chip. Hallelujah. Amen. Thou hast given me the necks of mine enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. Amen. Hallelujah. And David picks this up again over in the 18th Psalm. In fact, it's picked up two more places in other scriptures. This exact same thing, that he teaches our hands to war and makes our feet as the hind's feet. So it's not just an isolated thing that he says he'll teach us to war. So God is a God of war. Amen. There will be no peace. God will not be a God of peace until his enemies are put under his feet. And his enemies are far from under feet. So until that day, God will be a God of war. Says, and we are his warriors. Isaiah 41 and verse 15. Sometimes I get the right chapter in the wrong book, and I do that too often. Isaiah 41 verse 15 says, behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument having teeth. Grind it up. Thou shalt thresh the mountains and beat them small, and thou shalt make the hills as chaff. The mountains represent powers and governments. God says that we are to thresh the mountains, beat them small, and thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away. There we're back to that winning fork again. Fan them, and the wind shall carry them away. And the whirlwind shall scatter them. And thou shalt rejoice in the Lord, and shalt glory in the Holy One of Israel. Amen. So when we do this, we will rejoice in the Lord, because we see our enemies and his enemies put underfoot. We are to rejoice when we see the enemies of the Lord put underfoot. When we see cancer destroyed, when we see other sicknesses, mental things destroyed, we're to rejoice in the Lord. When we see the demons cry out and be bound, bound, we're to rejoice in the Lord. Brother Worley says that's a song he loves to hear sing when the demons cry out. Well, that's a song we all need to enjoy, to hear the demons cry out. But when in the name of Jesus, we take authority and dominion over them, in Jesus' name. Says that we shall rejoice and glory in the Lord Jesus, in the Holy One of Israel. So we are called to be in the battle. Amen. Not to faint by the wayside. Now, not to become weary in well-doing. Not to become weary in the battle. But to rejoice in the day of battle. Well, if there's a scripture somewhere that says about the horse prancing. Just come to my mind about the horse prancing and pawing the ground when he hears the sound of battle. Well, that should be us. We should be that horse that's prancing and rejoicing, ready to get in the battle when we hear the sound of the battle cry. Amen. And to turn the enemy at the gate and bind him up and take his rights away and reduce him to ashes under our feet. To pull down the principalities and powers in the high places. So the Lord says that we are to pull down these powers, principalities, and powers in high places. And we're to bind them up. But bind their kings with chains and with fetters of iron. And to bind them to the day of judgment. When the Lord Jesus shall mete out the judgment that's due unto them. Amen, amen. Amen. Well, let's see. Did I finish reading? Yes, I finished reading that verse. 1 Chronicles chapter 5. What do you know? I turned to it first time off. Praise the Lord. 1 Chronicles 5, verse 18. Says, the sons of Reuben and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh are valiant men. men able to bear buckler and sword, and to shoot with bow and skillful in war, were 44,703 that went out to war. And they made war with the Haggites and the Jethro and Nephesh and Nodad. And they were helped against them, and the Haggites were delivered into their hand, and all that were with them. For they cried to God in the battle, and he was entreated of them because they put their trust in him. Hallelujah. Lord, we put our trust in you. Help us, Lord. Help our unbelief, Lord. Help us to put our trust in you. Lord, help thou mine unbelief. And they took away their cattle and their camels 50,000, and of sheep 250,000, and of asses 2,000, and of men 100,000. For there fell down many slain, because the war was of God. Hallelujah. Amen. And our warfare is of God. But we have been too backward and cowardly, and we haven't taken the battle to the gate. God says it's time to become a warrior and fight the good fight of faith, to carry the battle to the gate. Don't let the enemy chase you. You chase him. And then when you get him, you cut his head off. Amen. Amen. God's a God of war. He's a God of battle. And the battle's not over. It's really only beginning. Jesus defeated and was conquered in his battle at Calvary. Now we've got to fight the rest of the battle for him. Amen. We've got to do it. Back in Joshua 1, let's look back here again and see what the Lord told Joshua. Back over here in chapter 1 again. He repeated in 9 that I read what he said here in verse 6. It says, be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that they may observe to do according to all my law. So the Lord says that he's given us a law to abide by, that, and if we abide by it, he will watch over us and take care of us in the day of battle, because that will be our defense. Because his law says that he will be our defense. And then if we walk in that and obey it, then God will be our defense when we call for him. If we walk in his word, if we keep his commandments, walk in his word, and make it part of our life, then when we call on the name of the Lord, he will be there to answer, because we have fulfilled his word in our life. So we won't be defeated in the day of battle, because we will be able to say, it is written. That is the law of the Lord that will come to us and come through us. It is written. And it is written is our defense against the powers of Satan. It is the defense that breaks the rights and takes the rights away from the demonic spirits. The fact that it is written. It is written what? That Jesus Christ is Lord. It is written that his blood availeth in our behalf. It is written that the word of the Lord says that in the name of the Lord Jesus, we would set the captives free. Not you might, you could. It says you shall set the captives free in my name. It is written, the word, the law of the Lord is our defense and is our authority as we come to battle. We come rejoicing in the battle, not turning and running away from it. When Satan rises up, we come and take authority and dominion to defeat him and bind him up and put him underfoot. Amen. And that's what we've been doing this week, and I hope you continue to do it the rest of your life as long as you live, and you become stronger and stronger and more a threat to the strongholds of Satan, and you break his powers and put him underfoot and bind him up and set the captives free. Amen. That's the calling of every saint of God. And there is no turning. You're not any less called than I am. And I'm no more called than you are. We are all called to do battle for the household of faith. Everyone alike. And you have no right to shirk. If you do, the Lord will get you. Amen. Well, over in Judges chapter 7, here, I like this, what it says here. In verse 18, it says, the last part of the verse, it says, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So whose sword is it? It's the sword of the Lord and Glenn Miller's. And you stick your name in there. It's the sword of the Lord and you. Amen. And so the sword that he's given us is his word. It is written. And we take the authority of it that it is written, and we yield the sword of the Lord, and we sever and set the captives free in Jesus' name. And we're not to be weary in well-doing. If we don't see success, we still don't give up. Just because we don't see success every time we pray for somebody don't mean the next time we come to pray for somebody, we don't pray for them. We pray for them anyway. And then pray for them, and then maybe the place we didn't see success, we get a chance to again, and that time there may be success. And maybe none of us are completely delivered. So we are being delivered, and we are being prayed for. And as we enter into these services and other services and your own private service, as you minister to the Lord and the Lord ministers to you, then there comes the deliverance that you need in your life. And as you take the place of authority and dominion and declare that Jesus is Lord and He is Lord in your life and over the circumstances and situations, that He is Lord, and then as you do that, you appropriate the word of the Lord and you set the captive free or whatever the situation is. And if you don't see success, you do it again half hour from now, next week, next month, you do it again anyway. You don't quit. There's no place for quitters in the army of the Lord. There's no place for a quitter. Now, he said, little by little, he'll deliver us. So little by little, we keep the fight up. We don't become weary in well-doing. And that is so easy to do. So you get discouraged, oh, this and that and something else. And don't listen to the discouragement. If Irma and I and Patty and Kevin and the rest of us here listen to the discouragement we hear that comes against this place and the things that come back to us that people say about this place, we would have packed up bags and left here long ago. I tell you, you can't believe some of the things that people say about us and that come back to us, what they say. And people that I didn't want to believe who some of the people were who said some of these things. And who do yet say some of them. But that cannot deter me. Jesus is Lord. And He will deal with their mouth. And I do not accept their words. In the name of Jesus. And I don't accept any words that you say against this place. And I hope that you don't. Amen. Okay. Jeremiah chapter 51. You see, God didn't call you here. He called us here. And it requires that we be faithful. And it requires that we don't be discouraged. He requires that we be faithful and rejoice in Him. And that which He's called us to, He will be faithful to fulfill if we are faithful. And we cannot allow discouragement of any type, no matter where it comes from. We cannot allow discouragement in any way to discourage us. And neither can you. But Satan will try in every way he can to discourage you in either one way or another. He'll try them all. That's his job. He is assigned to do it, to try to discredit the Lord Jesus. And it's up to us to see that he doesn't do it and it doesn't happen. It is required of a servant that he be faithful. So it's required of me and it's required of you that we, you, I be faithful. Regardless of what somebody else, someplace else does, is immaterial to your circumstance. And you are not to allow it to affect you, but so many of you and even myself sometimes maybe has allowed it to affect me. And that is what Satan wants, and that is what you and I cannot do. We are still required to be a faithful servant regardless of what anybody else is or does not. I am required, you are required to be faithful. Jeremiah 51. What does it say? Verse 20. It says, "Thou art my battle axe, O Israel." I added that last word in there because that's who the household of faith is. We're Israel, moving and marching the army of the Lord. Hallelujah. "Thou art my battle axe and weapons of war, and with thee will I break in pieces the nations." Not only the kingdom or the kingdom of Satan, but the nations. I don't understand that. I can't explain it. All I know, it says it. Amen. And I expect it to happen. I believe it will happen. I know it will happen. Amen. I, for with thee will I break in pieces the nations, and with thee will I destroy kingdoms. And with thee will I break in pieces the horse and his rider, and with thee will I break in pieces the chariot and his rider. So we are called to be the Lord's battle axe, every one of us. But like Chip said yesterday, we're to be a sharp axe. Dull axe or dull chainsaw, it just ain't no good. It won't do the job. So you're required to keep sharp. You have to do it. You have to study. You have to pray. You have to fast. You have to be one who keeps sharp. And it's time you learn to fast. It's time you have to learn to fast. Now, they kind of make remarks about me around here sometimes because it doesn't bother me about eating. I could go maybe a day or two. It would never bother me if I was busy working and all, if I was busy without ever stopping to eat. If I smell food or taste food, well, then I'm hungry. But as long as I don't taste it or stay away from the smell of it, it doesn't bother me at all. It doesn't bother me. And you need to learn to fast. Because if you don't, there's days ahead when you're going to have to for your survival. And you better be able to now so that you won't have any problem then. Who's the boss in your house? Are you the boss in your house? Well, then, do you tell it what to do? Huh? Do you control what you see and what you hear and what you say? Do you tell your body what it's going to do? You know, we say body, soul, and spirit. Spirit, soul, and body. And you say, body, I take charge over you. Soul, you come in dominion under my body. And the Spirit got charge of all of us. You take dominion. And you start learning to do it now. And, so, and do it for the Lord. Because the day is at hand when we will survive by the word of the Lord. I believe that. I believe that. And it has happened in other lands. And do you think that it can't happen here? Or that it won't? God says that His judgments are coming in the earth. He didn't say in other nations. He said in the earth. And His judgments must come to America because of the abominations that are in this land. His judgments have to come or He is not a just God. And He is a just God. The brazen altar is the place of judgment. And America stands at the brazen altar today, the place of judgment. And God's judgments are coming in the land. They are here and they will increase. He said that it will start at the household of faith. We will see an increase. God's judgment has to come because of the witchcraft and the sorcery and the rebellion, because of abortion, because of the homosexuality and lesbianism and incest and all of this that's in the nation, let alone the God of pleasure. God's judgment has to judge these things. And so when these judgments come, we need to know where we stand with God so that God's hand will take care and His protection will be our covering. and it'll be a day when it's necessary that you fast and pray. So start practicing now so you'll be prepared for it. Isaiah 34. Come near, ye nations, to hear, and hearken, ye people. Let the earth hear, and all that is therein, the world, and all things that come forth of it. For the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations, and His fury upon all their armies. He hath utterly destroyed them, He hath delivered them to the slaughter. Their slain also shall be cast out, and their stench shall come up out of their carcasses, and the mountains shall be melted with their blood. The place that the nations, the mountains, the nations shall come down, and all the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll. And all their hosts shall fall down, as the leaf falleth off from the vine, and as a falling fig from the fig tree. For my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Idumea, and upon the people of my curse to judgment. The sword of the Lord is filled with blood. It is made fat with fatness, and with the blood of lambs and goats, with the fat of the kidneys of rams, for the Lord hath a sacrifice in Bozrah, and a great slaughter in the land of Idumea. So the Lord says that his sword is filled with blood, that he's a god of war and of blood. And the unicorns shall come down with them, and the bullocks with the bulls, the principalities and powers, the demon powers, the bullocks and the bulls shall come down with them. And their land shall be soaked with blood, and their dust made fat with fatness. For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance, and the day of recompense for the controversy of Zion. And that day of judgment is coming to the nations of the earth. And I believe that the remnant, the household of faith that achieves unto the remnant, will minister part of this judgment to the nations. I don't understand. I can't explain that to you. But I believe that. I believe that those who are the overcomers, those who are in the remnant, those are the very elect, will administer at least part of this judgment to the nations. And they will be given that place of authority and dominion to do that. I believe that as the prophets arise in the land and the apostles arise in the land with thus saith the word of the Lord, that is and will be the beginning of this judgment to the nations. And the prophets of the land and apostles of the land shall stand forth in the congregation of the righteous, judgment of the Lord, by the word of the Lord, and say, thus saith the word of the Lord, and it shall come to pass before your eyes. In Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 1, 1 Timothy 1, we find Paul admonishing Timothy here, charging him. And in verse 18, he says, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou byest them mightest war a good warfare. He's charging Timothy that he's to fight a good fight. He's not to be slack. He's to fight a fight of warfare. And a fight and a good a battle of warfare takes energy. It takes strength. It takes determination and fortitude. And so Paul is telling Timothy to have determination, to have fortitude, and to fight a good fight. To fight a fight, to fight a good warfare. And Paul says that he fought a good fight. And he finished his course. And he's finished the race. He's run his course. But he fought a good fight. And we can look back over Paul's life and see that he had to fight the demonic powers of Satan from the time almost that the Lord intervened on the road to Damascus, that from that day forward, Paul almost had a continuous warfare with Satan. He was stoned and left for dead. He encountered the lions. He was whipped, four or five times with 39 stripes, and most men never survived one whipping, let alone that many. His back was so marred that I doubt there was a place on it that it wasn't scarred. It was from taking that. Most men, majority of people died from those whippings because they cut the skin open between the ribs and they ripped the flesh out and they opened their ribs up or they got infection. And those days they had nothing to give them for infection, no penicillin. And they died from infection or they died because they were ripped open and their lungs were ripped open and they died from their lungs being ripped open. And Paul survived, four or five times? He survived that. You read history. I enjoy history. I find all these things in history. History tells us how that the Romans treated those that they whipped or those that they crucified. How that the torture that they were put through and how the Roman soldiers delighted in doing this. There were those who counted it a great honor to be the one who got to use the whip. That was a high honor in the Roman army to the man who was assigned to use the whip, to whip somebody with 39 stripes. Well, Paul counted it a high honor to be whipped in the name of the Lord Jesus. And if Paul and others were persecuted, who are we to think that we may escape all of that? Be not dismayed. Stand and fight a good fight. Paul, over in Ephesians 6, again, verse 10, he charges us. And he says, finally, my brethren, finally, he's come down to the end, and he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Boy, he names him right out. He tells you who you've got to stand against the devil and all his hordes, that you'll be able to stand against him. And he's a wily one. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And that's true. It's in high places, just as this prayer request we had today. The problem is with people who that are in a high place, that the situation was concerning this prayer request. Spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all to stand. So Paul says there's a battle to be fought. And he says that every one of us needs to put armor on. You don't need armor if you're not going to fight. So he says we need our armor because there's a battle to be fought. And we need armor to fight it. And he says that we're to take the whole armor of God. And he says, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth. So we're to put on the truth of the word. Having on the breastplate of righteousness. So we are to be holy. We're to be holy unto the Lord. The Lord says, be ye holy, for I am holy. And Paul says that we're to put on the breastplate of righteousness. And he says that your feet are to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So we are to bring the gospel. We are to carry the gospel. We're to bring the gospel, and it's to bring peace, reconciliation, restoration. It's to bring deliverance. It's to bring salvation. The gospel is to bring peace to those that hear it. But he says, above all, taking the shield of faith, Lord, help thou our unbelief. Give us faith to believe, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So the shield of faith, we're to hold up against the wicked one and the darts that they throw at us. And he says, take the helmet of salvation, to put on the helmet, to cover our head, to cover our mind, to protect our mind with the helmet of salvation, that our mind will not be distorted, or we'll put things in it that don't belong there. And then he says, and the sword of the Spirit. So he says we're to have a sword and we're to use it. What do you use a sword for? You kill something with it. You cut it to pieces. You kill something with it. A sword is to use in battle, to fight, and it's to use to win with. It says, so we take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It is written. The sword of the Spirit. It is written. That's what Jesus used. That was his defense. It is written. And that's your defense, and that's my defense today. It is written. The sword of the Spirit. And we are to use it. Then what does he say to add to that? Praying always with all prayer and supplication. Praying in supplication in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit. So Paul says that you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You need it so you can pray in the Spirit and be a warrior. To war against the things of the enemy. Praying in the Spirit. And then he says we are to watch. Watching thereunto with all preserveness and supplication for all saints. You be an intercessor for all saints. And all saints are to be intercessors. And all intercessors are to be intercessors for all saints. Right. Right. All saints are to be intercessors, and all intercessors are to be intercessors for all saints. And then for the rest of the world as well. We are to be intercessors. And the rewards are to the intercessor, to the overcomer. And I taught on it when? Thursday night. Was it Thursday? I taught on be holy and being an intercessor. And if we become an intercessor, a true intercessor, we have no worry or concern about the mark of the beast. For God says he'll mark the intercessor with a mark in their forehead, and they'll the death angel or whatever will not come nigh them. Or you may have problems and troubles and all of this, but the hand of the Lord will be your protection. You are the overcomer. You are the elect. You are those who receive the rewards in the book of Revelation, that those who are marked with a mark in their forehead. So desire, search, become an intercessor for the household of faith. Become an intercessor, and don't be selfish. You don't become an intercessor for me and mine. That's a sideline. Me and mine is a sideline. You become an intercessor for the household of faith. For the abominations that are in the household to sigh and cry between the porch and the altar, to become a priest for the Lord, to sigh and cry for the abominations that are in the church, that are in the household of faith. That's what, and in doing that, you also are a good warrior. You're a good warrior to do that. Now, you noticed here, as we went down through the line here, that there's no protection on your back. Everything's in the front. So God's got no use for a turncoat. That's right. God's got no use for a turncoat. He didn't give you any protection. Your protection is only as you move forward, as you progress, as you press the battle. That's where your protection is. But when you turn and run, you've had it. You're a dead duck because you've got no protection. And Satan's got you. And so don't give up the fight. Don't turn back. Maybe you're not gaining any ground, but stand your ground. Stand what you got. Don't lose what you got. Keep it. Keep it. Don't turn back. Don't turn back. Because as long as you keep standing, amen, you're still winning. You're still winning. But if you turn and run, you done lost it. So don't turn back. Don't be a turncoat. So God is a God of war. And He's looking for people who are also a people of war. He's looking for a people who will stand up and declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that in Him is the authority and dominion given to set the captives free and to put Satan underfoot and to press the battle to the gate and see that we are victorious. And we will be victorious as we declare and make Jesus Lord of our life. As we put the areas of our life underfoot that still are problems to us, and then as we work to set the others free as well. So we're to be a people of war, prepared for war. We are to be prepared for war, and we prepare for war by studying the word of the Lord, by hiding it in our heart, that we can say it is written, and becoming a prayer and a warrior and an intercessor. That's how we prepare for war, and that's how we do warfare as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 2 Corinthians 10 says, "But I beseech you, verse 2, that I may be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." There it is right there. Devil, see that? That's it. Amen. See that one over there, Satan? "Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." Amen. "The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Amen. "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing it into captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ." Now that I've got to work at, and so do you. Because a lot of our thoughts are not correct. What we think about somebody, or even say about them. We've got to bring our thoughts into subjection to the Lord. And thoughts that are not right with God, that are sin. And thinking about people, things too, is sin. But I'm talking about other such things as lust and things like this. Things that are sin. We've got to bring our thoughts into subjection and captivity to the obedience of Christ. We've got to do it. You've got to do it. I've got to make my thought life line up with the Word of God. And you can't do it for me, and I can't do it for you. That is something that you have to do. I have to do. Deuteronomy 33. So, God says He's a God of war, and God says that we are to be warriors. That's what we're called to. We're called to salvation. All that's in the Holy Spirit, all that's free. Then after that, God says we're to do something. From there on, it's not a free ride. From there on, it's by works of righteousness. Deuteronomy 33 and verse 29 says, "Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people, saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency? And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread them upon their high places." Who does the Lord say is going to do it? He says we are. We're going to tread our enemies down, and we're going to put them underfoot. And he says that who is a people like unto thee? There's no people like unto thee who serve the living God. Let's go over and look at a verse in 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles 20. And over here, in this chapter, we have a warfare going on. Jehoshaphat says over here in verse 15, he says, "Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of the multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's." And verse 20, it says, "Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper." And verse 22 says, "And when they begin to sing and to praise the Lord, when they begin to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten." So the Lord fights the battle for us. If we get in there and start the battle, the Lord will fight with us and for us, and he'll give us the victory. But we have to get in there and start to do something, and then the Lord will give us the victory. And here, for praise and worship, the praisers went forth, and they began to sing and praise the Lord. And when they did, the Lord set ambushments against them. Amen. So in the midst of our praise and worship, the Lord comes down to set us free and deliver us, and to set ambushments against our enemies as we praise and worship the Lord. And then the victory is ours as we declare that Jesus is Lord. For he is. Amen. He is Lord. In the Song of Solomon, chapter 6, verse 10, it says, "Who is she that looketh forth as the morning? Fair as the moon, clear as the sun, with what? Terrible as an army with banners." Who is that? Amen. That's the church marching forth to victory. Amen. Fair as the moon and clear as the sun. Holiness. Holiness unto the Lord. But terrible as an army with banners. So the church of the Lord is to march forth and be an army that is terrible before their enemy. And in those days, why, everybody had a standard bearer, and they came charging forth, waving their banners and blowing the horns and shouting unto the Lord. And today we're coming forth shouting unto the Lord, declaring that he is Lord, and that we're victory more than conquerors in the Lord Jesus. Amen, amen. Joel chapter 2, and verse 11 says, "And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it?" Who can abide the day of the Lord? Only those who are protected by the blood of the Lord Jesus can abide the day of the Lord. And I intend to be part of that army that marches forth, Joel's army marching forth to conquer. I intend to march in that army and be part of it. Amen. Amen. To conquer in the name of the Lord. Very terrible. And who can abide it? Nobody, none of Satan or any can abide the army of the Lord. And we're going to conquer, going forth to conquer and to conquer. Amen. Let's look over at Psalms 149. Psalms 149. A song of war. Yes. Psalms 149. "Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of the saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Jesus is his name. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with a tremble and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand." Hallelujah. "To execute what? Vengeance upon the heathen and punishment upon the people. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. To execute upon them the judgment written. And this honor hath all his saints." God says it's an honor to be a warrior, to be a soldier. He says it's an honor to fight the battle of faith. He says it's an honor to defeat the enemy and put him underfoot. He says, this honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. So, it's an honor to do battle for the Lord. It's an honor to be part of the army of the Lord. And we need to count it such. So, who is to execute the judgment? I am. You are. We are to execute the judgment of God. We are to bind up in fetters of iron the principalities and powers and put them underfoot and execute God's judgment in the land. And we have too long. Nobody's taught us. We didn't know that we're supposed to be God's battle axe. Oh, we've read it. Put it to heart that we're God's battle axe. That we're supposed to do God's fighting, that we're supposed to bring His vengeance in the land, that we're supposed to bind with fetters the princes and powers of satanic dominion and break the strongholds and bind them and put them underfoot. We're to do it. We're to stow forth. And just in the last 10, 15 years, probably at the most, we've just begun to hear this. But it's time that we stood up and become a mighty army, marching through the land, making Jesus Lord of lords and King of kings, binding the satanic powers of princes and polity and powers of satanic dominion, breaking the strongholds of demon powers, breaking the powers of the occult, breaking the powers of witchcraft and sorcery, putting loosing the captive and putting these powers under our feet in the name of the Lord Jesus. Bind them to the day of judgment. Don't just bind them. Bind them to the day of judgment in the name of the Lord Jesus. And ask God to send the angel to keep them bound till Jesus judges them at the day of judgment. We've got to start getting rid of them. We can't just cast them out. We've got to get rid of them so they can't come back anymore. We've got to cut their heads off. We've got to put the sword to their neck and loose the captives and bind the princes and powers that have been holding them and keep them bound till Jesus judges them at the day of judgment. Praise the Lord. At least that's my contention. Amen. Amen, amen. So, we're to execute God's judgment. Revelations chapter 1. Revelations chapter 1. John says, and I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun that shineth in his strength. And when I, John, saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. Alpha and Omega, Jesus is his name, Lord of lords and King of kings. He who at Calvary gave his life's blood that I might have remission of sins and redemption. He who is King of kings, the creator of the very universe, who gave himself that I might have life and have it everlasting. He also is he to whom has a two-edged sword that goes forth with judgment and bringing judgment to the nations and to each one of us if we're not in a place before the Lord where we've already been judged before the day of judgment. But God is calling us to judge ourselves, and then in judging ourselves to become warriors for the kingdom. To become a battle axe used for the kingdom. Be not afraid of the enemy, but turn him at the gate, and then chase him out across the fields, and overtake him, and put him underfoot, and bind him up to the day of judgment. In Jesus' name, Lord, raise up amongst us warriors willing to stand forth and declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. Lord, put within us the determination that Jesus is Lord of all and that we are His battle axe. And Lord, help us to be determined to bind the powers of Satan and put him underfoot in the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, I release unto these people a spirit of a warrior. I release unto them a spirit today to bind the powers of Satan and to put him underfoot. I release unto them today
a determination to fight a fight of faith, to fight a fight of faith in behalf of the name of the Lord Jesus, that we shall bind the powers of Satan so Jesus can arise from where he sit down until his enemies be put underfoot, so he can return to become King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Father, I thank you and I praise you for that promise that you've given unto us, that if we fight a good fight of faith, that you'll write our name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And Father, I decree unto these people today that they shall declare in their hearts that they shall stand forth to become warriors in the household of faith, fighting the fight of faith, binding the powers of Satan, putting them underfoot in the name of the Lord Jesus, and setting the captives free. I thank you for it, Father, and I bless them in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Stand and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Father, I praise you in Jesus' name. Father, I praise you. I worship thee. Holy is the Lord and greatly to be praised. I bless your name, Lord. I praise you today. I thank you, Lord, for your word that it is written that in your name we're to set the captives free. In the name of Jesus, I take dominion and authority again over the satanic powers. I take dominion over sickness and disease. I take dominion over the curses. I take dominion over the familiar spirits. I bind the satanic powers that would try to destroy the household of faith. And I break the bonds and set the captives free in the name of the Lord Jesus. I praise you, Lord. I praise you. I praise you. I praise you. I praise you. Holy is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Majesty and dominion, power and authority. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Holy, holy is the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Well, I don't know of anything to add more. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Father, I thank you for your anointing and your presence. I thank you for the Holy Ghost that flows and moves through this place and through these people. Thank you for your anointing that rests upon us and that will be with us as they travel, Lord. I thank you for it as they leave today and tomorrow, Father. I thank you for your presence to abide. I thank you and I praise you for it. Father, I bless the cooks, bless their labors. Father, I thank you for the good food. I thank you for making health and strength to us. Thank you, Lord, for refreshing us, strengthening us for the battle. I thank you for...
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.